What's up, buddy? Happy Halloween.
Hey.
I'm so happy that the Warriors are just banking wins right now with Steph Curry not playing and Andrew Wiggins not playing. That you just never know. You never know what, like, New Orleans was a team that went farther than the Warriors last year, and obviously they're injured as well. Seeing Draymond have that kind of game, I mean, I throw my hands up and I say, like, Dre, it's not even the fact that you scored 14 points. It's the fact that you took multiple three-pointers from different spots on the floor. And it just opens the floor up. And one thing that I noticed in this one, you know, when you get these back-to-backs, against the same, like, a common opponent, this is where Draymond shines defensively because he has an opportunity to see you. And it more mimics what you would see in a playoff game where it's like, oh, I saw you once.
Yep.
Now I get a second crack at you the very next day.
Yep.
Let me make some subtle adjustments. And I thought that what he did on Zion was unbelievable. I mean, we know he has the defense in the bag, but to me, he did a lot of his work before he caught the ball. And that's the key with Zion.
5 of 20, Zion Williamson. 5 of 20 from the floor yesterday. 12 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. And, you know, we had the conversation, you know, who mesmerizes you? 0.925, I love you. Who fascinates you on the floor? And, you know, you said Zion Williamson. And the problem with Zion Williamson is that he just hasn't developed his game. He's the same player he was out of Duke. Now, maybe it's injuries, maybe it's weight, maybe it's the organization, maybe he doesn't want to be. I have no idea. But if you pull a wall on Zion and say, hey, why don't you just shoot from the outside? He's not capable of doing that. And even if he does have 15 feet of room, he will still barge into the lane to try to get a layup. He has no mid-range game. Mm-mm. His game hasn't ascended whatsoever. And I think right now he's one of the, like, he's going to get his numbers. And we talk about Sabonis being empty calories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zion Williamson right now is the definition of empty calories. He does not do anything right now to make his team better. Now, I'm going to give him some grace because, you know what? He had no Trey Burford III, no C.J. McCollum, who for whatever reason didn't play. They said to Dr. Strain, I don't know, I think maybe he was the GP2 disease. Maybe he got the Gary Payton II flu. I have no idea. But they don't have DeJounte Murray, so he doesn't have a lot of assets around him. But that's where we looked at Zion saying, hey, it's your world now.
Yeah.
Go lead. And Draymond Green, look, we're going to get into Draymond Green because I think some of the things he said after the game was like, wow. And he's been really good after the Utah game, after last night. I think he said some great things here that I want to get into during the show. But he did a great job on Zion. But Zion, on the flip side, as well as Draymond Green played him, it's hard for me not to look at Zion saying, you haven't improved not one bit of your game since you've been in the league.
Yeah, I'm coming around on where your opinion is, where I was a little unimpressed over the two-game period. Like, I think he's going to, like, there's a couple of plays where he gets in the lane and he has really nice finishes and whatnot. But overall, for the talent he is, the hype, the name, the impact just isn't there. And there's no doubt about it. Now, you referenced Draymond Green. I was watching the postgame, and I was listening to Buddy Hield at the podium. And I'm sure you were tapped in because it was your show. And I was listening to how he was talking about Draymond Green. And I was thinking about, like, it reminded me a lot of the rhetoric I heard from Sam Darnold about Brock Purdy and how Brock Purdy taught him how to prepare to be a quarterback and how he thought he knew what preparing to be a quarterback was. And then being in all these, like, funky situations in Sam Darnold's career. And then he finally landed with the Niners and he had an opportunity to kind of, like, take a deep breath and just watch and learn. And obviously he learned from Kyle Shanahan as well. And I feel like Buddy Hield, similar to Wiggins prior, like, he learned a lot from coming to this situation, and now that he's here, it feels like Draymond has really, it's changed him.
Well, Draymond, and you heard the players the day before, and it kind of got lost on me a little bit. I didn't realize it was a big impact, but you're talking about Draymond Green at halftime. Draymond Green, you know, at halftime, inspiring guys as they were coming back to beat the Pelicans. And then you hear it on these youngsters discuss Draymond Green, whether it's Kuminga or Podziemski or Trayce Jackson-Davis. And then you get Buddy Hield last night. And Buddy Hield, he has some funny lines saying, hey, man, welcome to our world, Draymond. You can shoot that three. Trust me, man, this is the Warriors. You got a clip. You got a clip, dude. You can make a three. And I'm just saying, man, take 5 to 7 threes a game.
It's been the mantra of the roast for 5 years.
Well, you know, now they improved to, 136-29 all time when he hits at least two threes. Wow. And they're 53-7 all time when he hits at least three threes. So when he hits at least two threes, they win most of the time. But here's Buddy Hield on Draymond Green's impact.
He's the heart and soul of the team. You hear people talk about it from, you know, just watching from the outside. But when you was like in the present with him, the way he's so vocal, the way when he talks, everybody listen. He just and everybody just follow, you know, and he just have this competitive edge, this competitive spirit that's unmatched, and you really don't, you would never get to know him unless you're in the fire with him, you know, and that's what's special, especially is, yeah, he might not put up 30 points, 25 points a night, but he does all the intangibles that cost to make you win a basketball game, you know, guarding Zion and holding him 5 of 20, you know, and him making, when the game's not going well, him making timely threes and making, keeping the offensive flow, you know, and that's what a winning player does, you know, and hats off to him, man. I got to see it full tilt on, like, you know, just being here, and I see what how much he meant to this franchise, and he's a heck of a leader, and, you know, and everybody just follow him, so, and I still got a lot to learn from him, you know, because he has a lot of wisdom, you know, and he means well to everybody.
And so, and I've seen a change in Draymond Green. And I thought his post-game interview with Fitz Ibuki was absolutely phenomenal, which I want to get into. But 14 points, four rebounds, six assists, and the five block shots, and excellent individual defense on Zion Williamson. And Draymond was saying, hey, don't forget about Dray when it comes to being one of the best defenders in the league. He's putting on a clinic right now. But Buddy Hield speaking the praises of Draymond Green, singing the praises of him. And Draymond Green after the game, I'm playing this before we get down to the Lions because we got a special guest we need to talk to and get that out the way.
Okay.
But, Draymond Green, how this year is different for him than last year. Take a look. This is courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area.
Yeah, absolutely. We, like you said, it's a fresh start. You know, I know I coming in, I had an awful year last year. It was just not right. Didn't play well, didn't act well. And, you know, I want to, like you said, I want to show the real me. I want to show the growth. You know, I talked last year about being a champion of change, arguing with referees. These guys are human. They make mistakes, and I'm trying to understand that. Such an emotional game. I play, you know, one of my best attributes is playing with my emotions. And so taking that next step and learning how to play with those emotions, but knowing where to channel those is a big, important step for me and something that I'm really focusing on this year. So.
Champion of change. Trying to be a champion of change. Taking accountability. Now, I know a lot of people are not going to be able to let the past go, but me personally, I'm a guy that tries to move forward. I try to look forward and say, okay, how do you learn from your mistakes? How do you take accountability? Are you able to take accountability? And the fact that he's out here saying that it's a champion of change. I know I need to do better. I need to be right. I cost this basically last season. I was not good. I think he was good defensively on the court last year. Thought he had one of his better years in recent memory, but it got all overshadowed with, due to the suspensions and due to the injuries and everything that happened. So, you know what? Champion of change. I respect that. And I think in these post-game pressers, whether it's Friday night in Utah, hell, whether it was training camp, I remember talking to Steiny about this a few weeks ago. He's like, man, Draymond Green was incredible on the podium or on the mic out there in Hawaii. This is a start. We are seeing a different guy, and we're seeing a different team to start the season. And so this could go a long way, man. This could go a long way during the season to where the Warriors try to get a top six seed in the Western Conference. I thought those words were very, very well said by Draymond Green, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, it feels like the closest to, and not contrition isn't the right word, but the most self-aware I've heard him in terms of like, yeah, you know, it was on, off the court, like him acknowledging those things, because normally he's very defiant regarding it and I'm in complete control. I'm just going like, just the feeling I get from him normally. That is as sincere and as honest of a reflection as you're going to get from someone like Draymond. And I think it was very powerful. That's a great soundbite right there. I don't think we can play that enough.
No, we're going to play it all day long. I was like, wow. Bully was wow. Fezzi was wow. Everybody. I mean, it was unreal. And then, you know, you hear him at the podium and me saying, look, I got defensive goals. I want to get back to being that defensive player that I was. Last year, I didn't qualify for things, but he was talking about listening about Chet and Wimby all summer long. It's like, hey, don't forget about me. And you know what? Yesterday was a defensive clinic. That was his game yesterday. And a game that was, look, it was sloppy at times. Now, the Warriors, I think, did a great job in the second half, only two turnovers when they committed 12 in the first half. And, look, it's a back-to-back. Legs are probably a little tired. You don't have a lot of firepower with Stephen Curry and Andrew Wiggins. You got to find a way to win those games. and the three-point shots, and he get them up as rapidly as they have during the first four games. But you know what? You bake these wins, and you see him have a very solid all-around game. It kind of sits in the moment of saying, hey, this is a game maybe I need to be a little more aggressive offensively. I think we saw that from 23.
He hit a couple layups. He had the two top of the key threes. He had the corner three. Like, that's all we want. It's like, dude, if they're going to lay off you, like, you have to just rip it. You know, you just got to take that shot. You know, I was watching that game, and I thought they did a great job adjusting, because clearly New Orleans was like, we're going to try to run you off the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Warriors did a great job of cutting backdoor, sharing the ball backdoor, going to the rim. How many times did they use the over-pursuit by New Orleans against them?
Oh, yeah, all day long.
And I thought TJD, who we haven't even,
yeah, we'll get to TJD.
TJD was really good. And they got him the ball early in the game, mm-hmm. which I thought was really smart. Just get him feeling good about himself. And I love where this team is at in terms of connectivity. I know Buddy Hield, like I'm kind of like tongue-in-cheek with it, because it's not sustainable what he's been doing. He's been really awesome. But boy, his vibes, I'm not trying to do the Mark Canha thing when it comes to the vibes, but clearly he's a very infectious individual. Yeah. In the same way that, like, when I talk about Pablo Sandoval, it's not just the player. Like, Pablo brings so much to the dugout that everybody loved, and it was like, you just want that guy around you? It's like, dude, something about Buddy Hield, this team is like, they got a little bounce.
We got a little bounce.
Buddy's playing well.
He's playing well. 8 of 19 yesterday. Wasn't the most efficient, but he got his shots up, and he scored 21 points, and it was some timely shots that he made. And I got to mention Brandon Podziemski, who, you know, there was a lot of talk about him, a lot of rhetoric about Brandon Podziemski, about who he is, whether or not he's overrated, whether or not he's underrated. Here's what I know about Pods. He's a winning player. He's a winning player. He's going to score 30? Probably not. He's going to drop 15 dimes? Probably not, but he's going to get you 8. He's going to rebound the basketball. He's going to put his nose into everything. He's going to be pesky. He's going to be annoying. He's going to pick you up full court. He's going to put the team in the right sets offensively. He's going to cut. He's going to pass. Brandon Podziemski is a winning player. So I don't care what, he played 38 minutes and 6 seconds last night, led the team in minutes. He's been a good stabilizer for the first unit, for the starters, for the first 5, for the second 5. Brandon Podziemski, TJD, Buddy Hield, this thing is all coming together. Now, we're going to see how the barometer is set for this 5-game road trip. This is a monster, monster trip. And I don't even care about the record on this road trip per se, Shasky. Sure, I want them to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
But how do they stack up against the Bostons, against the Clevelands, against the OKCs early in the season? It's going to be a nice little barometer from them. So I'm really eager for them to take their show on the road and really eager to see how they come out of it.
Dare I say a litmus test?
It's a litmus test.
Jonathan Kuminga had a couple of really savvy moves on Brandon Ingram in particular. The little, like, hezzy under. And then he had one where he was in the block, and he likes to do that fadeaway from time to time on the left block.
Yeah.
He, like, swept the ball under, got the and one.
Yep.
And then I'm listening to him. I think it was Kareth Burke in the postgame. And he's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't care if I start or not. And it was like, Jonathan, you are saying all the right things.
He said that the night before, and everybody, you know, Shab Saradia, what a clown move by ESPN and Shab Saradia. You know, and I respect the hell out of Shab Saradia. I respect what he does. But the graphic, benched as if he was out of the rotation.
Like he was Anthony Richardson.
Basically. and the misleading headline there. And then the rhetoric that came around was like, yeah, they should have traded him on. Look, he's moping. He's doing this and that. How Kuminga has responded the last 2 nights has shown me growth and maturity. Same thing happened in January when everything happened against the Denver Nuggets and they come back and win that game with a 25-4 run and Jokic hits the shot. And we're thinking, what the hell's going on here? And Kuminga doesn't play the final 18 minutes. And then, so you know, you hear the reports, he wants out. He doesn't trust Steve Kerr. Well, they have the meeting the next day, and Kuminga then averages 20 for the rest of the season. And he responded very well. This kid, you know, I don't get the rhetoric around Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know why people don't like this kid. This kid is endearing. He's nice. I've had multiple conversations with this guy. I have multiple conversations with his people. He's articulate. He's smart as hell. He's learning the game. He's getting better and better by the day. I'm so happy for him to come back and respond in back-to-back nights. Taking the assignment to Brandon Ingram, mm-hmm. saying, I'm going to check you, Brandon Ingram. But what did Brandon Ingram do last night? A quiet 14?
Well, the New Orleans is such a... They're an odd team. They have a lot of pieces I like. And yet they don't play basketball well together.
No.
Like, that's how I would like summarize them.
It's like 101 all day long. It's weird.
It's a very old OKC vibe. Your turn, my turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't play that. And maybe DeJounte changes things as a point guard and it's more connected. It doesn't fit. Conversely, like watching Brandon Pajemski and Draymond Green push the ball after misses, after made baskets, their pace of play and the ball hopping, like they are playing a brand of basketball that I find to be thoroughly enjoyable.
33 assists last night in a game that was fairly low scored by today's NBA standards, 104-89, but all four victories coming by at least 15 points so far. But the competition wraps up here on a road trip. All right.